My name is Jermon Dunn. I'm the Assistant Conductor Community Engagement with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra.
Very nice. Welcome. And for what special reason are you in town in Rochester for?
Actually, this last week was the Gateways Music Festival, which is a wonderful music festival that happens biennially. And we focus on the musicians of African descent, both here in the United States and around the world, as well as pieces by composers of African descent. And this festival for the last week has been filled with chamber music and orchestral performances and run-out performances in homes and houses of worship. And we have really integrated ourselves with the Rochester community, and it's been a wonderful experience this past week.
You personally, how did you get your start in music? Go as far back as you can remember.
My first thing, actually, which a lot of people don't necessarily think, I guess, as a beginning, was it had to do with a computer. So we had a Microsoft Windows 95 computer. It was a compact Presario. And one of the programs that we got as part of a bundle was called Microsoft Musical Instruments. And this program introduced you to many instruments across the world and had little excerpts both in ensembles and by themselves. And so that introduced me to music itself. And then I began playing violin at age 8 in elementary school. Also that year, the year was 1998, and a movie came out, The Prince of Egypt. It was a DreamWorks movie. And it had a score written by Hans Zimmer, and I was just enamored with the score to this movie. And that's when I knew that conducting was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a part of that sound, just a part of it, not necessarily leading the sound or causing it to be made, but just to be a part of it. And so with my violin studies, I had conducting in the back of my brain, but from the information I was being told by everybody, I had to do these other things before I could get there. And so I continued to play violin. I'm originally from Chicago, so I was in the Chicago public school system. And then around sixth grade, I began study at the Merritt School of Music, which is a wonderful community music school in the Chicago area, and actually downtown Chicago. And so I participated in Merritt as well as my school obligations. And then along with that, the All City Performing Groups, which was a division of the Chicago Public Schools, was something I also performed in. And after that, I eventually decided to go to the Ohio State University for undergraduate. I wasn't sure if music was something I really wanted to do or if it was just expected of me at that point because I had been very active up until that point. And so I entered undergrad as an undecided major, but eventually came back to music. I knew that the choral orchestral sound was something that I just could not get enough of. There were other pieces of music and other subgenres of classical that eventually I would not necessarily grow tired of, but just say, okay, my appetite has been sated for the time being. But choral orchestral music is something that I'm always into. And so then I got my undergraduate in voice as a component to that. And then after leaving Columbus, after living there for many years, I moved to Boston and got my orchestral conducting degree at Boston Conservatory. And so now, all of these cumulative years of music making and different types of music making has brought me to the point where I am now the assistant conductor with the Buffalo Philharmonic. And I had to form orchestras, little orchestras on the side to sort of further my career in the meantime, but it's been a wonderful journey so far.
And so part of your role at the BPO is also community engagement.
Yes.
You talk a little bit about what kind of responsibilities that entails.
Community engagement is sort of a broad umbrella term, and so it's up to us more so to define it as not necessarily as we see fit, but as the opportunities present themselves. And so a majority of what I do turns into education concerts that I perform with the Buffalo Philharmonic. We have a longstanding contract with the Buffalo Public Schools where grades one through eight, all of the students in the Buffalo Public Schools come to a BPO concert every year. And so they get to see the orchestra in that way. But in addition to inviting students to come to Klein Hands, we also go out to certain communities in the Western New York area. But BPO has a teaching artist program where members of the orchestra, as well as myself, will go out to specific schools and work with students. I have a presence more so in the African-American and Latino-American communities as a person of color in classical music, as both an advocate for the BPO, but also as an advocate for music as a whole. And so getting to work with these different organizations is so rewarding, and to be able to like broaden the spectrum as much as possible.
I remember you've mentioned before that it's important for African-American representation in music, and you kind of find yourself as like a component of that.
Mm-hmm.
What about this new position kind of allows you to do that?
The biggest thing that I always tell people when they ask me about what is the best, biggest thing that you can do to advocate for persons of color in classical music, and I tell them that the first thing is visibility. I was having a conversation with a musician the other day about how he prefers to play timpani on the floor, for example, because some orchestras need risers because the stage is level and you want to be able to see the conductor, etc. But he said that, "I prefer to play on the floor because of the sound, but I play on risers because many audience members hear with their eyes." And that is something important to note, because younger children, especially the ones that maybe introduced to this music for the first time or maybe the only time, they will take away what they see more than what they hear. And so me being on the podium and the presence of me in this position and being able to go out in this capacity gives so much more visibility than where there previously was none or very little.
Was this like an issue that you noticed, a lack of representation growing up, like when you were a kid growing up, or is this just something you came to think about more in like later in your schooling?
The issue of representation with specifically persons that are from underrepresented ethnicities tends to be a thing that you notice very quickly. It's not necessarily something that you aren't around as you grow up, and then suddenly when you're on the national or professional stage, you suddenly become aware of it. That's not something that happens. When you begin, you immediately notice. Maybe you're in a situation where you're in a school where everyone around you is also taking violin lessons and you all look alike. And so your brain may think, oh, you know, I don't have any reason to think anything, any othering is going on because everyone around me looks like me. But as you progress, it becomes more and more apparent, because at that age specifically, everyone looks for heroes. Everyone looks for idols. Everyone looks for someone to look up to not necessarily pattern their life after, but to aspire to a level that is higher than where they currently are. And when you begin searching for that and you can't find it when it looks like you, it becomes very discouraging very fast.
Was there anyone particular that served as that hero figure for you?
As an African American, it was very difficult for me to find one. Many of the heroes that I found, I treated them as heroes because they were African Americans succeeding in classical music, not necessarily because they were doing what I wished to be doing. Leontine Price immediately comes to mind, Jesse Norman, Thomas Wilkins, James DePriest, Maestro Paul Freeman. These people, these men and women, are people that I looked up to as people that were on the professional level succeeding, maybe not succeeding at the rate in which they deserve or the rate in which they should have been, but they were succeeding. And so I use that as a template.
Now that you're in that position to be a role model, I think, what are some of the steps, what are some of the steps that you're taking to try and be that role model for people?
One of the things that I've already talked about visibility somewhat, mm-hmm. but one of the things that I just think is so important is to break the veil. Many people of various generations believe classical music to be this elitist thing that is behind a glass. And, you know, almost as if you were going to the zoo and you're in the reptile house and snakes are behind a glass. Something of that sort. And so, or you're in a museum and a very famous piece is behind glass. And I am interested in breaking down that glass to allow people to realize that we are just as human as they are. We are just as people as they are, and we have more in common than we don't. And one of the ways that I do that with the education concerts specifically is, you know, the education concerts takes a lot out of the people doing them, because you have to, they're a different sort of preparation. You have to be prepared to engage with the students that are in front of you. And so what I make it a point to do after every concert is I walk off stage, I grab my cup of coffee, and then I go out to the parking lot where the students are boarding their buses to go back to their respective schools. And I greet these students so that they realize that I am just a person just like them. I'm no different than their teachers. I'm no different than their parents. I'm no different than they are. I'm just here just as they are, and to sort of break that imaginary chasm between audience and ensemble is something that I really, really like to work on.
So what has your involvement with Gateways been like?
This is my first Gateways Festival, so it's been a wonderful eye-opening experience for me. I became aware of Gateways a while ago. I had heard of them, but I had never applied, not necessarily because of any one reason. I just viewed it as a festival that I wasn't quite yet ready to participate in. And so I became acquainted with Lee Kuntz and other members of the Gateway staff back in November at a gala luncheon that I was invited to, along with the executive director of the Buffalo Philharmonic, Dan Hart. And so we attended that luncheon, and I met Lee, and I met Michael Morgan, and I met other members of the Gateway's board of directors. And we forged a connection, and they asked me to come to Gateways, and I said, I would love to come. Thank you for the invitation. And so I applied, and they asked me to come, and I came, and every second that I've spent here has been so wonderful. It's so eye-opening to see so many people working for the same common goal. It's wonderful to see more people that represent me on an ethnic level in the field of classical music. That cannot be overstated. It is a wonderful thing to see that, and it needs to not be confined to these smaller festival things such as Gateways or Color of Music Festival or things of that nature. It needs to be something that is seen across the board at all times.
It's like you're stepping into a big family reunion.
Yes, very much so.
Everyone is so warm and quick to get to know you, and it's very humbling. There's so many accomplished musicians, but there are no chips on the shoulder. Everyone is there and making music together, and it's very community-focused. Everyone from across the country and across the world has come together, and in a short time has had to prepare music, and most orchestras have lots and lots of rehearsal hours together to gel and to really learn. And from my perspective, it seems, you know, if you had told me everyone has been playing together for years, I would have believed you, but everything has just come together in the past week. So what's it like, boots on the ground, meeting people one day and then having to perform for the next?
Well, I talk a lot about the psychological impact of music and some of the psychology behind playing in an ensemble such as that. The reason why things like Gateways work so well in such little time is because a lot of the natural barriers are not there. You all wanted to be here. You all know why you're here. You all enjoy being here, and you enjoy being with each other. And so once that is achieved, the actual music making is almost easy because you're at a position where sometimes people don't realize you come into a rehearsal setting. Sometimes you come into a rehearsal and you're like, my car payment is due in 24 hours. I need to worry about that. And my foot really hurts right now, but I need to play this Brahms symphony, something such as that. And so I'm not saying that those thoughts are necessarily on the minds of the people at Gateways, but they are already there for a common goal, for a common purpose. They know why they're there. They know why they want to be there. And so rehearsing is just streamlined. And then then it just happens so easily. And that's not to say it's not without its learning curves. But at the same time, it's why festivals like these are so important and so great to be a part of. Because you just kind of, everybody knows why we're here. And they want to be there. And wanting to be there is half the battle.
The motivation is there. And, you know, so if you could talk specifically about what your role for the uninitiated, what is your role as like a conductor in a festival like this? Is it just, you know, focus in, guide the piece, and that's it? Or do you have to do work sort of out in like a big picture?
Well, my role is actually not that large. Michael Morgan, the music director of Gateways Music Festival, he has the biggest role. I, as a guest conductor for this festival, I was only responsible for the Florence Price, the First Violin Concerto, which we performed on Thursday evening. So my conducting responsibilities were limited to that one piece. However, even with that one piece, I had to I had to prepare it as if I would prepare any other piece with any other orchestra. I had to take time to study the piece beforehand. I had to take time to sort of identify traps beforehand. And when you're in a situation where you have to perform on very little rehearsal time, identifying potential traps is almost the most important thing for you to do, because you need to make sure that you can allow the music to speak, but that you can overcome things as quickly as possible. And so I also spent some time with the soloist Brendan Elliott before we rehearsed with the orchestra so that he and I were on the same page. So there's a lot of prep work. I feel that there is a lot more prep work concerned when you have very little rehearsal time and you have a quick turnaround than in a normal situation where you have, you know, say 3 or 4 rehearsals on the same piece before you have your first concert. So that's kind of what I went through this time, but it was very exhilarating. Slightly stressful, but a lot of fun.
If there's one improvement or suggestion you could make, what would that be?
Wow. I don't really know what I would say immediately. There are some communication things, but that is internal. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't really. I would probably tell them that I really enjoyed everything that I did. One thing that I would love to see is, if we can't get to a point where we're doing this every year as opposed to every 2 years, I would like to see some sort of midway to the next Gateways performance. Maybe it's just one orchestra concert in the Rochester area between two large festivals where people just come in for a few days and rehearse a program and then do a program. And it's like, you know, this is preparation. You know, it won't necessarily be the same rep, but, you know, this is a halfway to Gateways sort of thing. So that would be something that I would love to see.
Just to get people, to keep people thinking.
Exactly,
about it,
exactly.
Heads. Yeah. Right, yeah. So with your experiences from Gateways, is there anything specifically that you are going to take away and bring back to Buffalo?
This week has just been it's very important for people to remember that there are many facets to any coin. And Gateways is one of those things that reminds those of us that are African-American in the classical music field that we are not as alone as we feel at times. And that is very important to use as a check-in, to check in. But my hope and my dream and my goal is to that Gateways becomes this festival that we all do, but it's not the only place we can feel not othered. I learned a lot of things. One of the biggest things I learned was just to trust myself to be more out there as a person. I learned a lot more personal things here than I did necessarily professional application things. One thing that I also learned is that I am going to program the Florence Price Violin Concerto No. 1 somewhere at some point.
Excellent.
With Brendan Elliott as soloist, because he is a fantastic violinist with a lot of passion and he is amazing, and I would love the opportunity to work with him again. So that is something I definitely took away musically from it. But from the experience as a person, there's something to be said for immersing oneself in one's culture and learning things about yourself that you may have shut down or may not have known before. So that is the biggest takeaway I can take from this festival.
You never stop being a student.
Of course, of course.
If you could give advice directly to, you know, a young person who is interested in music or who's just had that kind of spark as you did with the Hans Zimmer score, and you know they're still wondering if I could do this, what would you say?
I would say to that young student, you can do anything you put your mind to. Surround yourself with people that support you but don't necessarily know the limitations of the field, because when people don't know the limitations of the field but they support you fully, they will be able to support you regardless of what people in the field may tell you you can or cannot do. And in addition to that, I would say never compromise yourself for what you think people are looking for. No one is looking for anything but your authentic self. And if you stay true to that throughout your entire life and throughout your entire career, the people that need to notice you will, and the people that don't will just miss out.